All right, we're diving into a Supreme Court case today. Norton v. Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance. It might seem a bit dry at first glance, you know, legal stuff, but trust me, this one's important, especially if you care about environmental law and how we protect those wild spaces we all love.
Yeah, and what I find fascinating about this case, it really shows how things can get tricky when you've got Congress setting these big goals, like how to manage public lands.
Right.
Then you've got agencies like the Bureau of Land Management, the BLM, who are actually out there trying to make those goals happen.
The ones on the ground.
Exactly. And then, of course, you have the courts trying to make sure everybody's following the rules.
Trying to keep things fair.
Exactly.
So to set the scene a little, we're talking about the early 2000s. Picture those incredible red rock deserts of Utah.
Oh, beautiful.
Stunning, but facing increasing pressure from, you know, off-road vehicles. And naturally, conservation groups are worried about the impact all that activity is having on these delicate landscapes. Mm. We're talking specifically about wilderness study areas, or WSAs. These are areas that Congress has set aside saying, hey, these might be worthy of official wilderness designation.
Potentially.
Yeah.
And that's where FLPMA comes in, the Federal Land Policy and Management Act.
Okay, FLPMA, break it down for us.
It's essentially the rule book for how the Bureau of Land Management, the BLM, manages these public lands. And it mandates this thing called multiple use management.
Multiple use, okay.
Which means trying to balance different interests, grazing, mining, recreation, and of course, conservation.
So trying to find that sweet spot where everybody gets a piece of the pie.
Exactly.
Seems reasonable.
Right.
But here's where the conflict comes in, because the BLM also has this non-impairment obligation when it comes to those wilderness study areas. They're supposed to manage them in a way that doesn't mess up that potential wilderness character.
Doesn't ruin it for the future, yeah.
Right. And that's where the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, or SUWA, comes in.
Exactly.
They're arguing, hey, the BLM is dropping the ball here. They're saying the BLM is letting off-road vehicle use run rampant,
yeah,
and that it's damaging these potential wilderness areas.
Which goes against that whole multiple use idea, right?
Right. They even claim the BLM isn't even following its own land use plans, which are supposed to be like roadmaps for how they manage specific areas.
Right, their own guidelines.
So SUWA decides, okay, we're taking the BLM to court. And they come armed with a pretty powerful legal tool, the Administrative Procedure Act, the APA. Specifically, they invoke Section 706, which says courts can compel agency action unlawfully withheld. It's like saying, hey, BLM, you're not doing your job. We're going to make you.
Yeah, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Right. But now the big question for the Supreme Court is, does the APA really give courts that much power? Like, can they just step in and force an agency to take specific actions, or is that overstepping?
A big question, yeah.
And that's where things get really interesting because, well, the answer isn't as straightforward as you might think.
Welcome back. Last we left off, the Supreme Court was really wrestling with this question. Could they actually force the BLM, you know, to take specific actions to protect those wilderness study areas?
So what happened? Did the court tell the BLM, hey, you got to get a handle on those off-road vehicles?
Well, not quite. In the end, they actually sided with the BLM in a unanimous decision.
Really?
Yeah, 9-0.
Wow. Okay, so they sided with the BLM. What was the reasoning there?
Well, Justice Scalia wrote the opinion for the court. He made it really clear that judges, they're not in the business of micromanaging land management agencies.
So basically, stay in your lane, judges.
Pretty much. The court emphasized that Congress, when they created the BLM and gave them this job, they gave them a really broad mandate.
Yeah.
Manage these lands, take all sorts of uses into account. And they brought up that whole, you know, that non-impairment obligation.
Right.
And they basically said, look, that's pretty vague.
Non-impairment?
Yeah.
It's not specific.
Right. And we're not going to step in and tell the BLM how to prioritize wilderness protection over all these other things.
So if I'm understanding this right, the court is saying to Congress, hey, if you want the BLM to do something specific, you got to be clear about it.
Right.
Spell it out. Don't make us read between the lines here.
Exactly. And it's interesting because, you know, they're really talking about the separation of powers.
Yeah.
Right? The court is saying we got to respect that. Agencies need some flexibility in how they carry out their duties, especially when Congress gives them, you know, broad discretion like they did here.
And this is where things get really interesting from like a legal perspective, right?
Yeah.
Because what the court did with this case, Norton v. SUWA, it actually kind of narrowed the scope of what courts can do when they're reviewing agency decisions.
Right, right.
You know, under the APA.
Uh-huh.
Remember that Section 706 that SUWO is pointing to, saying, hey, make them act.
Right. Compel agency action unlawfully withheld.
Yeah. And the court's basically saying, well, that only works if Congress gave the agency really clear, specific instructions.
Specific mandate, yeah.
If you, Congress, want us, the courts, to step in and force an agency's hand, you know, you got to be super clear about what you want them to do. No more this vague stuff.
No more beating around the bush.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what about SUWO's argument about the land use plans? Because they were also saying that the BLM was ignoring its own land use plans. You know, those roadmaps they're supposed to have for managing these areas. You'd think those would carry some legal weight, right?
Yeah, you'd think so.
They're the BLM's own plans.
But the court actually disagreed.
Really?
Yeah, they said those land use plans, they're more like guidelines than legally binding contracts.
Interesting.
They're supposed to be flexible, adaptable, not set in stone.
Yeah, that makes sense if you think about it. We're talking about, you know, these huge, vast landscapes.
It's constantly changing.
Always changing. Environmental conditions are different. You know, people are using them in different ways.
Exactly. So the court's like, okay, agencies need some room to adjust to those changes.
Makes sense. Okay, but what about the environmental impact of all these off-road vehicles? That was a big concern, right?
Oh, absolutely. And SUWA brought up NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act. They claimed the BLM wasn't doing enough environmental analysis.
Right.
And, you know, that was a big part of why this case had environmental groups so worried.
Yeah, it seems like a big deal.
Because basically what the court said was these land use plans, they're not considered ongoing actions, so the BLM doesn't have to constantly be updating its environmental impact statements, you know, every time there's a little more off-road vehicle use.
So unless Congress specifically says, hey, you got to review the environmental impacts every time something like this happens.
Right.
The BLM gets to decide when they want to reassess.
Exactly. Which was a pretty tough pill to swallow for some folks in the environmental community.
Yeah, because it limits their ability to use NEPA to challenge the BLM's decisions, even if they think those decisions are causing serious harm.
Right, even if they think they're being irresponsible.
So it seems like Norton v. SUWA, it really shifted the balance of power here, giving agencies more leeway, maybe making it harder to hold them accountable for protecting the environment.
That's a great way to put it.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's a complex question. And, you know, legal scholars have been debating this ever since this case came out.
Yeah.
On the one hand, this is tough, right? Because on the one hand, you want agencies to have the freedom to do their job, like you were saying.
Right. Use their expertise.
Exactly. But we also need ways to make sure they're actually doing what they're supposed to do, you know, especially when it comes to protecting the environment.
All about balance.
Determining that balance, yeah.
So what can we do? What tools are left if the courts aren't always going to step in and force agencies to act?
Well, one thing is that Congress can always go back and, you know, tweak the laws, make them more specific.
Right. Close those loopholes.
Exactly. In fact, that's what happened with the Endangered Species Act.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There were some court decisions that kind of limited what it could do. And Congress went back and was like, nope, we meant this.
Well,
clarified things, gave it more teeth.
So Norton v. SUWA was kind of a wake-up call for Congress.
Yeah, like, hey, if you want something done, you got to be clear about it.
Makes sense. But what about, you know, in the meantime, what can people do?
Well, there's always public pressure.
Right, the power of the people.
Exactly. Environmental groups can organize, you know, raise awareness, get people talking.
Protests, campaigns, that sort of thing.
All of that. And they can also try to influence agency decisions, you know, through that public comment process.
Which is a big deal for a lot of major agency actions.
Oh, absolutely. It gives the public a voice, a chance to weigh in.
It seems like Norton v. SUWA maybe didn't kill environmental protection, but it definitely changed how the game is played.
It definitely shifted things.
It's like, okay, we need clear laws.
Yeah.
We need people to speak up, and we need to keep a close eye on these agencies to make sure they're doing what they should be doing.
Absolutely. Constant vigilance. Norton v. SUWA was a reminder that protecting the environment, it's not just about having laws on the books.
It's about making sure those laws actually work.
You got it. It's about making sure the agencies are following through and, you know, the public has a big role to play in that.
So there you have it. Our deep dive into Norton v. Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance.
A case about wilderness.
Off-road vehicles.
And the power of the courts, or maybe the limits of it.
A case that still matters today.
Definitely still shaping environmental law.
It's complicated. There's no easy answers. But hopefully this deep dive has given you a better understanding of, you know, what we're up against when it comes to protecting our public lands.
The legal battles, the politics, all of it.
And how we can hold the government accountable.
Yeah, because ultimately these are our lands.
They belong to all of us.
And we all have a stake in how they're managed.
So what are your thoughts on this case? Did the court get it right? Is there a better way to balance those competing interests? Let us know.